welcome to a new decade. You believe it's 2020? I don't. Really, this was a little bit of a stretch, writing that on a check this week. I just got used to 2000, you know what I mean? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. I'm excited to share this with you. This is nothing new for most of you, but it is a great reminder. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." Just think about that. Every bit of the scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Greek word would be literally God breathe. Comes out of his mouth. He's the one that breathed it. And it is profitable. And, you know, most of the world that we live in has no clue, has absolutely no clue that of those two things, just those two things. I mean, I'm amazed at the lack of curiosity, of the fear that people have of the possibility that there is a God and he has made known his will. And I've met a couple of people that are really afraid of that thought. And maybe they got good reason. See, but that attitude surprises me, not in the sense that they have it, because I could see being uninterested. I could see intellectually dismissing it. I could see being honest. You could dismiss something that you don't want to even believe in or don't even want to consider. But to be afraid of it means that you really do know that there is. And you just don't want, it's like the kid when he comes home from school, he's got the report card in his hand and and just don't want to walk in the door and hear what's coming my way. I remember that. And, hey, Johnny, did you get your report card? Yeah, Ma. I remember that vividly. But, no, people are literally, because they know that there is a God. They know that there is a time of accountability, and they just don't want to think about it. And they don't want to face the truth. And that is just a shame. It's more than a shame, but that's the best word I can come up with at the moment. God's word is breathe out. To this world, God has always been speaking to this world. I think I shared that a couple of weeks ago. He's always been reaching out to mankind. But this word is profitable. It's not burdensome. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in the ways of God, for how to live rightly. That is what God has given us. And then there is, you know, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 here, verse 1. And as we live and do and speak the word, keep these three categories in mind. This is how you raise your kids. This is how you do everything. This is how you train yourself in any profession that you'll ever have, is you learn it. Right? Doctrine, reproof. Somebody corrects you as you make a mistake. All right? That's why you walk around with that little pen up and down the desk. Then check. Oh, that's good. That's not. Nah, this is how you do it. And then correction. All right? Let's go back over it again and make sure you've learned it this time. Doctrine, reproof, correction. You tell a kid what to do. You correct them as they don't do it. You're constantly reteaching and retraining that young person to do it right. And when they get off, it's reproof. Oh, this is how you do it correctly. God does this all the time in his word. Training. You do a job. The guy teaches you how to do it, right? You do it, and then you make mistakes. They're corrected. Those corrections are really brought to bear on the person who's doing the job. And then it's a re-evaluation or retraining again. And then it's practice. You got to keep doing this, the fundamentals of sports, right? I remember doing Little League. Keep the ball in front of you. When do you stop doing that? When you get paid $10 million? No, that's a real good time to keep the ball in front of you. You know, I haven't watched any games in a very long period of time. I watched it on the screen last night with all the people at the party watching these two games that we're on. But, you know, my thing today is it's the fundamental still. When you read this word, this is your Father speaking to you. And he's doing these things. And it's for your profit. He wants you to know how to live, what to do, what to believe. He wants you to think like he thinks. And then the purpose, that the man of God may be perfect. That you, the individual who is of God, may be perfect. That word perfect is artios, right? Like a ball and socket joint. You know, it just so perfectly fits together. If you had anything in that socket joint, you know, like that arthritis or whatever, it's no good. No good. I can bear witness. No good. So it just perfectly fits together. It's like a ship that goes to sea. It's got everything that it needs. That's an archaic use. That the man of God, the individual who is of God, may be perfect, throughly furnished. And that word furnished is exartizo. That is throughly, not thoroughly, throughly. It's like it goes right through you. From the inside, you know, perfected, completely outfitted, lacking nothing. And this one is also used, that ship that goes out to sea. There ain't no 7-Elevens out there. You know, if you forget it, you don't have it. God has equipped his people with everything. Every single solitary thing that they would need unto all good works, so that you and I can do the word. So you got what the word is for, what it's about. It's profitable. It's God breathed. Got three things: doctrine, reproof, correction, that it's teaching, so that we can walk in righteousness. Then the purpose, that we have everything that we need. Now, this is where it comes down. Do you and I, I need something. I really don't have an answer. I need an answer. I have a need. I have a problem, or I want to learn something. Is this the first place you go? Or is it Google? You know, everybody uses the Google thing. I use it too. I mean, I'm not knocking it, but it's not complete. This is the first place to go to get your answers. The first place and the only truth, reliable, that will do the right thing, always. It'll teach you to walk righteously. You know, we heard the manifestations a little bit ago, right? How do people learn to manifest the Spirit of God? They learn it by knowing what's in here, what God tells us what's here, and then they got the guts to do exactly what it says. That's the end of it. You put away all your thoughts of, well, I'm not sure, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough, I'm not, you know, bold enough, or maybe I don't know enough, I'm afraid to be wrong. It's like the people out there that are afraid that there's a God. Fear will kill you. It will literally destroy your spirituality, if that's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's that your walk with the Father. When Moses was told, pick up the snake, he picked it up by the tail, remember? I mean, that was the whole lesson. It's a couple of verses, how to do a miracle. You want to learn how to do a miracle, Moses? This is how it's done. God teaches him in about two sentences. What do you got in your hand? Throw it down. Pick it up by the tail. All right? It turns back into a stick. This is it. Just do what you're told. Lesson number two. Stick your hand in your breast here. You know, play like you're, what was that guy's name, the Frenchman? Napoleon. All right? The famous. I always wonder if he had a pocket. You stick your hand in your shirt. Pull it out. I'm a leper. That must have changed his day. Yeah. Stick it back in there. And he pulls it out quickly. That's the lesson. We're done. That's how you do a miracle. Now, think about this. Just think about that. The lesson was short. How much do you have to do with it? Just do what you're told. You don't even have to be an expert. This was Moses' first day. It was the first day. He had no in-depth thing going on with God. He just got curious about the burning bush. And then God starts talking to him. God's been talking to us through this and through our heart and the spirit that he's given us for years. Our whole life. You've never been without his instruction and without his warnings and without his help. He loves you. You may not have ever wanted to listen, but that's your end of it. I'm telling you, every sinner that's out there, every wreck of an individual, he loves and he wants. So the lessons are those that I realize that these words are God breathed. They're for me, and this is what they do. Doctrine, reproof, correction, which is instruction in righteousness. All this is for my profit. that the man of God may be perfect, fully equipped, absolutely, completely, fully equipped to do all good works. So are you lacking anything? The only one that can confirm that is you. You can mouth the words, but then you start to, I'm not so sure I should pick up the stick. Why do you want me to throw the stick down? So that's the negative on doing a miracle. Why? Why do you want me to do that? You want to ask that question? Next. Just do what he says. Now, he's the only one I would tell you to do exactly what he says. Do you see what I mean? And then, how did we get the word again? How did we get it? Like I said, nothing new here. But I want you to think, and I want you to get serious in your mind as far as, do I believe this? So how did we get it? Go to 1 Peter. Well, first thing, before we even leave here, let's just bring this up again. It says, all scripture is by inspiration, God breathed, right? In 2 Timothy 3:16. So it's God breathed. In 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 21, or is it 2 Peter? Yep, 2 Peter. Verse 20, it says, knowing this first. I want you to know this first. In Timothy, it tells you what to pray for first. I mean, these are important little words, right? Know this first. That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private or one's own, that's the word private, one's own interpretation. Everybody interprets the word. Trying to do it right, where it's not your idea. You read the scripture, you read it in context, you understand the words that are spoken. You keep it within the scope of the book and the rest of the Word of God. When you've got that, then you've got God's thoughts. But none of the scripture is of anyone's private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, they were moved by God. They did not sit around thinking this stuff up. God moved them. They spoke. And then go to Galatians chapter 1. One of my favorite verses in Galatians. In verse 11 it says, but I certify, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now this is, if I go to school and I am taught something, I have learned it from a teacher, they got it out of a book or from a previous teacher and so forth, right? Paul says, the scripture that I've given you, it's not after man. Okay? And I wasn't taught it. He's just simply speaking what he's been given. It's by revelation. When Peter spoke certain things, I remember he didn't have a preconceived idea that he was going to heal the man that was lame from his mother's womb in Acts chapter 4. He was just going to the temple. He was going to prayer service, to worship. It was on the way that God moved him and gave him the revelation that he needed. He fastened his eyes on this guy and said, "Hey, such as I have, give I thee." The guy asked for an arm. I said, "I got no money, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he did, praising God. And everybody got excited around it. And you know what? People took notice. And that's what miracles are for. Miracles are for advertising campaigns that the gospel that's being spoken is the truth. That was a different way of putting it, but that's the truth. Okay? It's a commercial. Hey, pay attention here. It's for the benefit of God to move his word as much as it is to the benefit of the individual. And you can get a clear picture of that. Remember the captain in Syria? Jesus Christ says in the Gospels, there were thousands of lepers in Israel. But who got healed? Who did Elijah heal? Naaman, a Syrian. That you would know that there is a God in Israel. Naaman was a man who God worked in to conquer his own people, to bring judgment upon them. God called Naaman his servant. Right? Was to carry out judgment, but God healed Naaman to show Israel that there is a God. And that's what they had forgotten. That's the reason they're being conquered, is because they don't know that there is a God. I don't want to know that there is a God. We're living in that kind of world today. So why wouldn't you expect to be doing miracles at God's bidding to show an unbelieving and an ungodly world that what you got to say and what you have to lead them to is the truth? Most people look at the ungodly world and they get affected by it to say, well, nothing godly is going to happen here. It's the exact opposite of the Bible. This is when God sends out. This is when everything is going to hell. All right? That's when he makes his choices throughout the centuries and has sent not so much, you know, not the most qualified people in the world. That would be us. He didn't send out the most qualified. Just take the list of who he sent and why he sent them. And Corinthians, it said, not many mighty are called, not many of the great. Just the regular Joes. Who did Jesus pick? Fishermen. A tax collector. Talk about a bum. All right? I mean, that's what everybody in the world who's hanging around Matthew, his name wasn't really Matthew. Peter's name wasn't really Peter. James's name wasn't really James, okay? These are just the English things we put on it. I don't know what's with the Bible, but none of the names are right. Mary's name wasn't Mary. Okay? And Jesus' name wasn't Jesus. Nobody called him Jesus. Nobody. Until somebody decided that's the name we're going to keep on him. Now, Yeshua is his name. Joshua was the pronunciation in English. Why was that so hard? Why do we call him by the Greek name? I don't know why we do these things. I don't know why, but that's why we work hard to get to the truth. You know, we do. We work hard. We've been working over this Bible, but it's got to go in the head. It was given by revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord revealed it to Paul. He may or may not have understood exactly what he was getting at the time. Peter didn't understand the revelation that was given to him. Remember what the thing came down in Acts chapter 10 with all the animals, kill and eat. Not me, Lord. I've never done it. Hey, what I've called clean, let no man call otherwise defiled. And he was like, huh? But he got the revelation. And it finally came around when he was talking to Cornelius. Wow, I shouldn't call any man common or unclean. It didn't dawn on him until later. It came together. He got the revelation. He didn't understand it. In fact, he balked against it. And then it finally coalesced in his understanding as the events of that day went on. Do you follow me? That you're not, it's just given. Revelation is just given. Throw down the stick. Just do it. Buy the lottery ticket. Go ahead. You'd all jump at that one. Throw down the stick. God says, stop the car, buy that lottery ticket. You and don't put the flashes on and run into the grocery store. Oh, God help us, right? But tell me I'm lying, right? See, it's God breathed. It's God moved in his men. He's the prime mover. And it's by revelation. This is how we got it. Go to Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation. Again, this is the process. It doesn't get much clearer than this, how it works. God is always the one who is the originator of his word. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. And he sent it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. You read that first verse. This is, it always comes from God. It is God breathe. Okay? Yahweh breathe it. He gives it to Jesus. Jesus gave it, all right? and showed it to his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And the way he did that was he sent it and signified it by his messenger, the angel, unto the apostle John, who wrote it down and we got. But it always originates with God. God gives it to an angel, talk to Abraham. God gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ to do the miracles, the signs, the wonders, speak the words that he did in the Gospels. He always did the Father's will. God told Jesus to tell Peter, and the rest go out two by two. Those guys got that from the Lord, got that from the Father. You follow? Every word God wants, not every word in this book is God to you, but it's every word that God wants you to understand. He put it in the book so that you could understand. When evil men are speaking, he wants you to understand what evil men speak. Do you see what I mean? He wants you to understand what evil men do. He doesn't want you to emulate that. That's obvious. But every word in the book is for profit. It's God-breathed for profit, for doctrine, reproof, and correction. And it's instruction in righteousness. Go to Romans chapter 1. If what I said to you is true just now, do any of you have doubted? I mean, you've been sitting in front of me a long time. I wish I had brand new people who, like, were a little bit, I don't know about you. They're helpful at times. Because outside of our little ministry and a few other places around the world, what I just said is controversial as crazy. Just absolutely over the top. Now, we just read it and made perfect sense, but that's not what a lot of people believe. And it's good to know what other folks believe sometimes. I'm going to Romans chapter 1. Get there. Look at what this first verse says. It says, Paul, a servant, a doulos of Jesus Christ. Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, a sent one, and I'm separated unto the gospel of God. He was set to do this job, to preach God's gospel. Who was he sent by? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he a servant of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where'd the words come from? God. All right, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Silothius, our brother. Peter was called out of his fishing boat and made an apostle. All right, Jesus was the master. Peter was the servant of the Lord. Actually, the Lord, during his lifetime ministry, was the servant of Peter, right? He came to serve. He was the one that washed Peter's feet. But then Peter's supposed to do the same thing for the Lord. You know, when the Lord's gone. We're the servants of the Lord. The word we speak is from God. Always. There's no change here. Moses spoke it. It was from God. Abraham spoke it. It was from God. Enoch spoke it. It was from God. the Gospels, when Jesus Christ spoke it, it was from his Father, God. When Paul spoke it, it is much God's word as Moses, as Jesus. Do you follow? There's no different people, different vocabularies, different languages, different times. But the message is always God is the author. You know, and you can see this, Galatians 1, I love to go to Galatians 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Because that was the big rap at that particular, oh, Paul's just a guy. He's just a fellow that's teaching you his own stuff. Paul, an apostle. Remember I told you, apostle means sent one. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. By Jesus Christ and God the Father. He wasn't a sent one by men. He didn't send himself. It was by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And he didn't get this revelation. He guaranteed in verse 11 that the gospel that was preached of me is not after men, for I received it not of men, but neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And who gives Jesus the words to tell? God. Can it get any plainer? So when the intellectuals out there, and I read some of the, I read not a lot of their books. I'm not an intellectual or a real college degree kind of guy, you know what I mean? Doctorate, even though I took the test in Yahoo and they told me I was a doctor of theology. Yeah, that and a token, it gets you on a subway.
Maybe.
Actually, it's a swipe card these days, right? But all of these very, very smart people who I look at, I study, they know the languages, they're called theologians, all right? They write these books. They spend their whole lifetime looking at the scriptures. And yet they are convinced that these are not God's words. They look at it and tell me how different a picture would this paint. The man who I just read, Paul here, right, in Galatians, he was sent, this is revelation from Jesus Christ who got it from God. The man in the book said Paul was having a very bad day when he wrote the book of Galatians. Because it's so harsh. It's not Christian-like. And this guy's got a PhD at the end of his name. Plus, these are the words of Paul. These are the words of Peter. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of Moses. They think and they believe that these are very holy men, inspired men, but the words that are written here are men's words. That's how they look at it. They don't believe that they're bad men or trying to mislead. They're holy men, good men, but they are men that are writing this thing. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of nice men, good men. They write books, you know, and I got nothing bad to say about them. But it ain't God. You put your life on this. You can throw down the stick when he tells you and pick it up, and it will be whatever he wants it to be. And you'll see the miracle in front of your face. You can make a fool out. You think you're going to make a, you won't make a fool out of yourself. You will glorify God if he ever told you to do something like that. Moses, I can't talk, right? God says, who made your mouth? Get over it. So we have the blessing, the joy. We have a truth here that is probably the greatest truth I ever learned in my life, in my Christian life. When I started out, it's probably the greatest and most important truth to continue to communicate, is that this word is God's will. It's God's will. You pick up the Bible, you're looking at your Father's word. You're looking at the revelation that he gave you so you could understand him and walk in righteousness. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. So Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your great grace and mercy. I ask you, Father, to continue to open our eyes and to continue to show us plainly the truth that's in your scriptures, my God. And help us to communicate these things to others so that they can learn and know you. And truly, Father, I'm so grateful to know what I just taught. I'm so grateful to be able to reiterate it, Father, and be excited about it. And I'm also grateful, Father, to be able to communicate it to a completely new generation of people. I pray that it profits as you send it, my God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.